T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's becoming known as one of the most vocal cheerleaders for St. Louis City and the region, and he has the clout to make things happen. And are things happening in St. Louis City? In this episode of KMOX Profiles, meet Jason Hall of Arch to Park.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome to KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey, and joining me is Jason Hall of Arch to Park. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. How are you?
I am great. Now, I've been following you on Twitter for some time. I always enjoy positive city news. I have heard you speak several times about some of the things that you've been involved with and things happening in the city. Let's start out first, Jason. What is Arch to Park?
So Arch to Park is an economic development organization that's 100% focused on improving the city. This was something, it's got roots going back to 2016. Good old fashioned, a lot of us that had been doing work, particularly in the startup community, the universities, we sat around having some conversations for about a year to say, we're seeing a lot of pockets of growth in the city, particularly driven by this startup and entrepreneurial renaissance. What if we worked more collaboratively together? What would that look like? What would we take on? What could we achieve? And those conversations ultimately morphed into what is Arch to Park today. So I think of it really, it is an organization, an economic development organization, but it's really a movement of people committed to making our city the very best that it can be.
So it's an economic development organization. Is it a nonprofit? Is it governmental? Is it private?
It's a private entity.
Okay.
I think that pretty typical for an economic development group gives you the flexibility you need to really get things done. And I think both the public and the private sector, when they come together and work together collaboratively, great things can happen.
Well, I have lived in St. Louis City now for 16 years, and I tell people all the time that every year I've lived here, it's gotten better. And I would see little things happening, I would get all excited, but I have never seen the level of improvement, construction, regeneration that I have seen in the last couple of years. And you really had a great summary when I saw you speak at the Better Business Bureau a few weeks ago about exactly how much investment is taking place. Can you kind of summarize that for people who, you know, may not come into the city very often and may not even realize just what's going on?
Yeah, and I start really looking around the region first, the broadest perspective. You've got extraordinary corporate investment that's occurring right now, including something that hasn't happened in a long time. Bunge, a Fortune 250 headquarters, is pulling out of New York City and moving to St. Louis to be a part of our growing agricultural technology scene here. Those are tremendous movements. And when you narrow down and focus in the city, there is over $8 billion of reinvestment that's occurring. And that number is extraordinary, not only in and of itself, but I think, like us as human beings, to remember where we came from. The city of St. Louis experienced a population decline unlike any other. The 63% of our population collapsed following the 1950 census. That is the largest percentage population collapse that any major city in North America has faced. That is a lot to work out of.
Yeah, that is pretty startling when you hear it that way.
And so to think that, you know, people that came before you and I that didn't give up and fought that fight that helped create this moment in time to be at where we are now with over $8 billion of reinvestment that's occurring, driven by this entrepreneurial renaissance. I think it's exciting because it's getting back to what made St. Louis in the first place. That is people coming here in search of opportunity, that have an idea, that take a risk, that get supported by the community and watch that turn into a business or an organization. Just like I did, you know, I said there is a better way to drive economic development in the city and wanted to create an organization to do that and bring people together to drive things forward. But that's happening at places like Cortex. When I moved back here from college in 2003, the 200 acres of land that is now known as Cortex, a globally recognized innovation hub, was decaying industrial land.
Yeah, it was just warehouses and nothing.
Yeah, and now it's covered in cranes. It's home to over 6,000 new jobs, including Microsoft's newest Global Innovation Center. That's the kind of change that we're capable of having in this community. You come right here in downtown St. Louis, the same thing is playing out, led by Dr. Patty Hagen, the T-Rex Innovation Community. The old Lambert Building had been vacant for years, and we reimagined that building as a place where startups and new capital come together to support entrepreneurs to create new headquartered businesses in St. Louis. That's now home to hundreds of businesses that are supporting over 5,000 new jobs. 30% of those businesses are led by a woman or a person of color. And I think that's a peek into our future. That's the kind of energy that's playing out in our city right now.
Yeah, and I'm seeing, you know, the city foundry, which is popping up, and the old armory building, two huge structures that just sat vacant for the whole time I've been in St. Louis that are getting ready to open. I'm really excited about all of these projects because it seems to me that it's downtown to all the way past the SLU campus, maybe all the way to Forest Park, is just going to be one seamless neighborhood.
It is one connected urban core that is a thriving innovation hub and an employment center. And then I think we need to reconnect that employment center with our neighborhoods north and south so that everyone feels that they have a stake and access to the opportunity that's being created here. But the core, the area between the Gateway Arch and Forest Park, which is where our name comes from, the Arch to Park, that really does refer to our region's global image. It's the common and collective turf of this region. Maybe it's a greater downtown to the 15 counties and 3 million people that call this place home. That's got to be, that is our global image. That's where we get defined. And it's critical that that be best in class. But it does have to be open and accessible to all. And I think we do have to acknowledge that not everybody is feeling access to that opportunity yet. And we have got to work with intention to make sure that we reduce the inequities and the disparities that exist in this region and that the benefits that are being generated in that heart of our city do extend to all residents and all neighborhoods north and south.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to get into that more as we continue this KMOX profile. But let's talk about NGA, because I know people who listen to KMOX hear us talking a lot about NGA and this whole long process of getting that moving. But can you talk a little bit about what that is going to mean for north of downtown? Because it is going to be a huge complex.
It is. It is an extraordinary facility. In fact, there was just another national article published yesterday about how the NGA West, which is what that facility is called, really represents the future of the geospatial industry and the future of national security, because the way it's going to allow for more collaboration to occur than its existing facility. To level set, though, that is over 3,000 jobs and a nearly $2 billion headquarters. That is the largest headquarters development in the history of this city, and it is taking place north of Del Mar. When Director Robert Cardillo, who ultimately made the decision to choose that site, said, we want to be there because we want to be near these dynamic centers of innovation. Places like Cortex and T-Rex that I spoke about, they want to be around that young talent, that creative energy where new ideas are taking shape. So that is an extraordinary win by any measure, a $2 billion headquarters for this city. That's going to put people like the family I came from, men and women in hard hats, to work for a long period of time to build that facility. And then it's going to create permanent jobs going forward. The NGA views that as a 100-year decision. But what excites me, and this is an area where Archita Park has been involved with many partners, including our city and the St. Louis Development Corporation, was to say, okay, we've got that win. And that, what that is, geospatial, it's the use of location data to make decisions. So if you think about picking up your smartphone and you type in an address on the map and it tells you how to get from point A to point B, that's using geospatial technology. Or if you call a rideshare and use the software app that enables
that. And watch
that.
The little car coming and you toward watch, you.
or watch a delivery tracking. All of that is powered by geospatial technology. What that represents is an entirely new industry cluster that's affecting everything. So the way that we're coming together now as leaders from the economic development community, our universities, our nonprofit sector, our startup sector, our private industry sector, is to say, how can we think of that as an anchor institution that puts St. Louis at the forefront of an entirely new growing global industry sector called geospatial. And let's start attracting more jobs around autonomous vehicles, precision agriculture, precision logistics, and let's claim that mountain. The inspiration I have for that is when I got into this business, I was really proud to have worked with the Danforth family, who took up a call 20 years ago to say we can be the global center of excellence for agricultural technologies, the biotech movement. And if you look at where we are now 20 years later, home to the Donald Danforth Plant Science Center, the world's largest plant science research facility, companies like Bunge that I mentioned, a Fortune 250 headquarters moving here, companies like Benson Hill, a plant science company out near Danforth, it was three people from North Carolina that came here to be a part of this. Last year, they were backed by a venture capital investment of over $60 million by Google, one of the largest technology powerhouses in this country, and it's a thriving and growing company that's building a new headquarters in Creve Coeur. We've done this once before, but what it takes is the community coming together, which I believe firmly in, to define an outcome, to say we are going to be globally excellent. We're not going to do that in one quarter or two quarters or 6 months, but we have to think a decade down the line, define that goal and figure out a strategy to get there, and then rally the community to come up with the civic capital that it takes to move us there. But it takes a plan. So this community has come together around a new initiative called GeoFutures, where we think of the NGA as anchoring this new industry where St. Louis can be globally dominant. And we're starting to map out what that looks like, just as we did with plant and life sciences before. And I think this is even more exciting.
Jason Hall is my guest on KMOX Profiles of Archita Park. We have a lot more to discuss. Stay with us here on KMOX.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey. Jason Hall of Archita Park is my guest. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about all the amazing things that have been happening in St. Louis City, the incredible amount of investment, and what Jason sees as the next frontier, which is centered around all of the things that will come out of the new NGA Center. Not even to touch on, Jason, that when we're going to have all these employees working at NGA, that means there are going to be little stores popping up around there. There's going to be restaurants. You're going to have to bring in small mom-and-pop type shops to service all the employees who are coming and going.
That's exactly right. And there's a real intentional part of this strategy to work with existing neighborhood residents to understand those opportunities and to make sure that they're included in them. In fact, we'll be up at an event on Monday, engaging with the community, existing residents in and around the NGA, because this is a big transformation. And just like if it was our neighborhood where we lived personally, we would want to understand this. We want to have a voice in shaping that. So I think that is absolutely critical. And I think that's a way to move forward a more inclusive St. Louis as well.
And it is important. We touched in the last segment on making sure that all of this success touches more people, because I see the success of Cortex going south into the Shaw neighborhood, into south of Tower Grove Park. I mean, those areas of South City are booming. You've got new apartment buildings going up, and rents are, you know, $1,800, $2,000 in these new buildings. Lots of new families moving in. I couldn't personally be happier about the state of my neighborhood because it's really been an amazing improvement over the last 16 years. But that also means that there are people who are getting priced out. So how do we, as we grow and improve, how do we make sure that we also have places that are still affordable and that we can still improve neighborhoods while keeping them by not, you know, blocking other people out?
Yeah, I think it's hard work, but it starts with a pretty basic principle, and that is we have to be inclusive and intentional. And we have to recognize, and you can look at some markets like New York, San Francisco, where they have become so unaffordable, young people are leaving. 300 people leave New York a day. These markets have priced certain people out. I think we've got enough momentum to take that question seriously now and be thoughtful about how we include affordable housing, workforce housing in these neighborhoods. We've got a plan for that. We have to have intention around that. But that's doable because we want to have diverse, mixed income neighborhoods where all people have a stake in that game and can enjoy the amenities that are being created. And that just requires, again, a lot of work. I've seen that with organizations like Rise, which works on affordable housing, mm-hmm. doing that in the Grove, for example, which is a rapidly regenerating neighborhood.
Now, I know that you work on certain projects, but I know you also have a lot of outreach with other people that you may not necessarily be working with, because you mentioned the Grove. And I think about how 16 years ago, that was nothing. I mean, it was just a kind of a street of boarded up nothing. And now it is amazing. You drive down Manchester in the Grove, and it is literally a neighborhood that has popped up in the last decade. You look at Midtown Alley, Jason Johnson and Renaissance? I mean, they've done about 60 projects just on that strip of Midtown Alley alone. So there are definitely people who are making this happen who many people listening probably have no idea that people have created whole new areas of the city almost.
It is. And how much work goes behind the scenes? That's what, you know, City Foundry, you had mentioned, that's a project we've been involved in. You know, these are complex, difficult projects. Oftentimes saving our beautiful historic buildings in this city, which I think is a distinguisher for us because we really have character and beautiful design. But it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of risk to do that. That's often the story that doesn't get told behind some of the folks leading on this development or the people in places like Cortex and T-Rex that are creating new businesses. But that's what moves a city forward. You got to take risk. And you've got to think big, and you got to work like heck to make it happen. And I am so proud. I mean, Jason is doing terrific work. And when you look, it's mostly St. Louis-based businesses created in St. Louis that are driving that energy forward. It's extraordinary. And I encourage listeners, you might have a perception if you haven't been in the city in a while or visited some of these neighborhoods. Come down and take a look. And enjoy the amazing food scene. Enjoy the amazing vibrancy that's being created. There's classics from Crown Candy to, new places like Rockwell Brewery going up in the Grove and everything in between. They're all extraordinary. And I encourage this region to take a look and be proud and be a part of this renaissance that's playing out in our city. Because as the former mayor, Hudnut of Indianapolis, once said, as they sort of recommitted to their city as a region, you cannot be a suburb of nowhere.
Very true. No one sends you a postcard of a strip mall.
That's right. And I would encourage listeners, if you have your children or your grandchildren, right, it's natural for us to say, we want them to come home. Well, if we want them to come home, we have to have the kind of place that creates opportunities, that's exciting and that's vibrant. And young people choose based on cities. And we've got to have that. We have tremendous energy, tremendous momentum, a lot that's happening now. We got to keep leaning into that as a region and recognize we all have a stake in that success.
Well, Jason mentioned Made in St. Louis. We haven't even hit on STL Made and Jason's extremely interesting resume. So we're going to get to both of those when we return on KMOX Profiles.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It's KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey. Jason Hall of Arch to Park is my guest. And before we get to STL Made, because I think people may have been seeing the hashtag STL Made and maybe they're totally onto it, or maybe they're like, what does this even mean? But first, we'd been talking about the tech community, and you mentioned something about another distinction. I mean, we all know, those of you in the know, that Cortex has grown by leaps and bounds. We are just doing wonderful things with our entrepreneurial community. But another thing that distinguishes us.
Well, I think we should be really proud as a region. The latest data came out, and St. Louis is currently number one in this country for women-founded startups. And I think St. Louis is at the front end of a much more inclusive approach about who is creating businesses, who is creating jobs, and we should be so proud of that. That is extraordinary and exceptional. And I am so proud of the women in this community that are creating jobs and creating that next generation of businesses.
Yeah, and a women-owned soccer team on the way.
That's right. What the women from the Taylor family got accomplished when they took up a mission to bring MLS to Soccer City, USA, against what everyone said was long odds, they got it done. And here we are going to be one of the very first, if not the first, women-founded sports franchises in this country, certainly the first in the MLS, and a stadium project that is yet another example, a $250 million commitment to building a world-class soccer stadium in downtown West, yet another one of those projects that's going to bring this region forward.
Because if folks have not been to Union Station yet, it's always been one of my favorite places. I take people, whenever I have guests in from out of town, we go to Union Station for a drink, the light show. We went a few weeks ago with the St. Louis Wheel and all of the things going on, and the aquarium hasn't even opened yet, and now a soccer stadium is going to go up there. I am beyond thrilled about what downtown West is going to be like in a year or two.
It is unbelievable. And like you, we went down a few weeks ago on a Saturday to do the wheel and eat at the soda fountain mm-hmm. shop. It was popping with people
exactly.
everywhere.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is the energy that a city should have.
Yeah. I always have just a huge smile on my face because I did the same thing. We went and I thought, I hope people are there. Oh, my goodness. Look at all these people. Everyone got the memo.
And it's a beautiful view of St. Louis.
It is.
When you get to the top of the wheel and you look out, you know, as family are coming into town for the holidays, that is going to be a terrific and a must-do destination.
Yes, hang out and watch the fire show for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. We have to talk about you because you have a very interesting resume. People might think, oh, Jason's probably a developer or something, but you mentioned in the first segment your family with hard hats.
Yeah.
Which was a reference to?
Well, I call myself, you know, St. Louis by birth and St. Louis by choice. I grew up and was born in Granite City in the Metro East. Three generations of steelworkers in my family. My mom, a successful entrepreneur, has a pet grooming business. Worked with my grandmothers in that. So, you know, came from pretty humble beginnings, but it was important. And I think growing up that way, a reminder that not everybody has the same set of opportunities. And I think it does bring an empathy to this work that is more inclusive, that is a deeply held set of beliefs. That you got to reach out, you got to listen to people, and you got to bring all people in to shape the future of their city. And that there's no greater solution for a family and for young kids like me than to create good, high-quality jobs. It solves a lot of problems. And it's not a theoretical thing. I know what that's like. And I think it was, I doubled down on that. I entered this business during the Great Recession. Governor Nixon was very kind in appointing me to his administration in 2009, and we took office at the height of the Great Recession. And when I saw families struggling in this state, Jobs were bleeding. It's hard almost to remember.
And nothing was getting built.
Nothing was getting built. You had to fight for everything. I remember being with the governor up in Detroit, fighting for those auto plants that we have in the state that kept so many good union jobs and blue collar jobs and construction activity in the state. You know, when you see that, I'm like, it was a fundamental change. I was a private practice lawyer that had left to do public service. And I saw the power of supporting the small people, entrepreneurs that were creating businesses that often were getting overlooked in debates about economic development incentives and tax credits. It was often overlooking the small people. That I think there is something special about homegrown businesses and the jobs that they create. And I just said, I want to dedicate my life to that. And here I am. So I feel very lucky and very privileged to be doing this work.
So in between working with the governor and what you're doing now, before that, you mentioned law. So you went to law school.
I did.
So a lot of people who might leave this area and go to law school, you know, you could have chosen anywhere. So what brought you back to St. Louis?
It was difficult. And, you know, it was one of the first in my family to graduate from high school, certainly the first to go to college or earn a law degree. And when it became decision time, I was literally, I remember this, sitting on job offers in St. Louis, in New York, and D.C. And I just had this deep moment of reflection to say, you know what? The Midwest, St. Louis, my family, and my teachers invested so much to create who I am. The only way I could honor what they gave me was to come back to my home and be a part of it. At the time, it was to be a private practice lawyer, but of course, I was always doing pro bono cases and volunteering in the community because that's who I am. Ultimately, I found a pathway to make this my job and my career, but I just felt like I had to give back to the place that gave so much to me.
Well, we are glad you came back. Don't you agree that people should be looking for things that they love and things that they feel they can make a difference? Because you live in the city, I live in the city, we're both passionate about the city, but so many people will say to me, oh, but what about the crime? Whenever I post something online about some great new development or something wonderful that's happened, there's always somebody who says, but what about the crime? I'm not underplaying crime. It's obviously an issue. It doesn't impact my daily life. It doesn't ruin my love of the city. I don't like it. I know that we need to address it. But how do you approach that, Jason, as a city resident and somebody who's always trying to boost the city when people always come back with that? Because I feel like you can stay where you feel safe, but are you happy? Do you love it? Are you passionate about it? I live in the city and I, like I said, drive around with a smile on my face at every bin in front of someone's house, every improvement, every new store that opens. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it is. I think every city and region has challenges. And I think we cannot be defined by the magnitude of the challenges, but I think it's really the will of people to come together to create solutions and move them forward. I understand. I have been a victim of crime. So I know what that feels like. I think we saw over the summer an unacceptable number of children, which I think really underscored the importance of this crisis around public safety. So I get it. It is important. Other regions and other communities face that as well. I think there are some incredible people taking on some incredible projects to work at that. We've got to work at our problems if we want to move forward solutions, right? I would like to see, this is not an area where as an economic developer I've leaned into, what I'd like to see is that the leadership involved recognize we need more than just projects. I think we need our leadership to come out with a much more clear statement that we have a commitment to live in safer and more equitable communities. And that is going to require, I think of the commission of a crime as a single point in time. To the left of that, or everything leading up to it, are areas where we need to focus on prevention, mental health counseling, job opportunities, education. Those are some of the areas, right, we impact as economic developers. Everything to the right of the commission of the crime involves policing, the judicial system, prosecution, and there's lots of reforms that needed to be there. But I think we need to come out and sort of talk that way about this issue, that it's not either or, it's both and. And I haven't heard that stated as loudly and clearly. We did this once before as a community, coming out of what was known as the St. Louis 2004 effort, which was a major civic initiative led by the Danforth family. They stood up an initiative called Ceasefire, and they did exactly that. They brought BJC and WashU to the table around mental health counseling. They had wayfinders going into neighborhoods, working on crime prevention. At the same time, they were working with prosecutors to say, here's the top 100 list of folks that have to be pursued. I just think it's both and I'd like to see more of the leadership involved in this effort talking about it in that way, not as a project, but a commitment to live in safer community and bringing both sides of those debate. Because right now, I feel like the way it's being talked about, 50% of the people think you're missing the root cause, depending on what you focus on. And they're both right. So we need to bring that together.
We need to take one more break before we wrap things up. It's KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey with Jason Hall of Arch to Park.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It's KMOX Profiles. I'm Debbie Monterey. Jason Hall of Arch to Park is my guest. And as we get ready to wrap things up, Jason, as promised, people have seen, hopefully, on social media, the hashtag STLMade. I noticed as I was driving around, sometimes new developments in town will have the hashtag STLMade on it. What does it actually mean?
So STLMade is, it's not an organization. It's a large collaborative of organizations. We came together and said, look, we need a better way to tell our story as a region, who we are, what we represent, and where we're going. You can't expect people to choose you. You can't expect to attract new talent, new investment, unless you have a story to tell. And I don't think we all recognize we were doing a very good job of telling that story in a more unified way. And so we came together and discovered really what we could be. It started with research, found out what this region is passionate about, what are we excited about, and to create a platform that allows us to ladder up the things we're proud of in our church and our community and our neighborhood, but to say, I'm proud of that, but that's part of a region, and that's STLMade. And it creates that safe space, that space that everyone can own and no one owns, where you can celebrate community pride. Because when we show up and St. Louis competes on the global stage, we don't compete as Belleville or Granite City or Wentzville or the city of St. Louis. We compete as St. Louis. And that's how we're viewed by the outside world. So we needed a way to come together that transcends geography and industry and everything else to be able to tell a better story. And that's what STLMade is about. And what we found was that, you know, we really say that the tagline there is, it's the place where you can start up, stand out, and stay. And we found that this region is so deeply passionate about our startup community, it surprised even me. So you see that being emphasized. And so what we're doing is highlighting, you'll see developments, people putting STLMade, as you pointed out, Debbie, on their buildings because they're proud. They want to say, this is my project, but my project's part of a much larger movement. And we're trying to connect those dots. And STLMade provides the way to do that.
So I'm free to use that hashtag anytime I want when I'm bragging on the city or something cool that's going on.
That's right. I would encourage all the listeners, when you've got something you want to brag about it. Be proud. And recognize there's other people just like you, and the way to connect with them and be a part of a larger movement in this region, and we all want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, is hashtag STLMade or put STLMade. And I would encourage you to go to thestl.com, where we're highlighting, people kept saying, we need a place for all these positive stories. So we've created a digital hub to tell the stories of everyday people in St. Louis that are working hard, tackling big challenges, tackling their personal life to move themselves forward in telling those stories and making sure that a light is shined on the positives, the doers, so that people have an opportunity to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I love that because I do think that one unfortunate part of St. Louis culture, maybe not the city as much as the region, is to focus on the negative or to look back to when things were great and not realize how much has improved.
That's right.
Do you think, and I have one last question for you, I feel like I've spent so much time trying to convince people who talk negatively about our region that there are good things going on. Is there a point to that, or should we just embrace the people who understand the good stuff that's going on and move forward with them?
What the organizations that came together to foster STL made, what we found out that a lot of that negativity isn't hopelessness. It's actually disappointment that we're not reaching our full potential. So when you hear that, I think we need to recognize that might be an opportunity. And sometimes we have to explain, yeah, we have challenges, but there are people working on them. You may not be reading about them every day. You may not see them. You may not see them in totality, but it's happening. And STL Made provides an opportunity and a platform to elevate that up. So I would encourage us. I think we do have to recognize, I mean, there is sort of this toxic happiness that's sort of, I think, fake and doesn't realize underlying issues. And there's a tension with that. But I think STL Made, I'm really proud of the people that came together. They recognize there are problems in this region. They don't move away from that. But I think it also recognizes there are people working on those. And those are the doers that are moving this region forward every single day. And we were just committed to shine a light on them. So I would encourage you to keep it going, because there is a psychology to growth. And if we're not proud of our home and the things that bind us together, how can we expect other people to come here? How can we expect more investment to come here if we're not? But we do have to be clear that we are working on those challenges and recognizing we've all had different lived experiences. And I think that's just being very real and gritty and honest about it.
And what is the website again for people who want to read some of the stories about successes in St. Louis?
Sure. It is thestl.com.
Thestl.com. Well, that was easy.
You got it.
And hashtag STL Made. So go ahead and brag on social media.
That's right.
And maybe we'll catch up in a year or so and talk about even more improvements in the city and region.
That's right. I think there's only one pathway to go for St. Louis, and that is forward and up. And I am really excited about where we are. And I will end with this for your listeners. You know, sometimes I think in the economic development community, we get accused of, well, we're just cherry picking a few good things. But when we add all of this energy up that you and I have talked about this morning.
And we didn't even hit everything.
We
just kind of touched the surface.
Something extraordinary is happening. St. Louis is, for the first time in several decades, we're creating jobs at 50% above the national average. So we're not just doing well in a strong economy. St. Louis is overperforming. Now, I hope that trend holds. I hope that is an inflection point that moves us into high growth mode again. But that's our opportunity. And the only way we're going to get there is if every single person in this region leans forward. And I would encourage all of your listeners to do that as well.
All right. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Jason Hall of Arch to Park. I'm Debbie Monterey. Thanks for tuning in to KMOX Profiles here on The Voice of St. Louis.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.